Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. My name is Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. And today I'm joined by my co-host with the most, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry, both here and in our two-day in-person workshop called Lightside Live, which will be held in Southern California this coming November 1st and 2nd of 2024. If you'd like more information on that, go to wellnessanddentistry.com and you'll find a link to our live course. But today we're talking about success. What is it for you? How to achieve it? How to sustain it despite all the noise in our society today? So, Kyle, what does success mean to you, my friend? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's changed over time for me for sure. Yep. There's definitely a big change from before I went through burnout and after I went through burnout. I think before I went through burnout, to me, success was more of typical success of what you hear in, you know, most consumers talk about. This meant money for me. This meant prestige. This meant, you know, being well known. I think also a lot of that was clinical success for me too, being a dentist. And I think if I had money, I was well known, and I had clinical success, I would have been happy as a clam. And what's funny is that I had all that. And I wasn't happy. And I even had all that and went through extreme burnout and depression and anxiety. Now, today, my definition of success has definitely changed. To me, success now is, there is an aspect of it that is financial. And for me, it's more of being comfortable, you know, sure. not having to worry too much about financial problems. Because of course, if you don't have money, that can be challenging.
Yeah.
But more than that, for me, it is more of this idea of being present where I am, being a great father, being a great husband, helping others, helping with my community. It's really changed for me. I think a big one for me now too is autonomy and time freedom. That is definitely success for me too.
Yeah. Time freedom is a big one. I mean, I talk to our colleagues all the time, and that's one of their biggest challenges typically. If you had to categorize like top three or five, they may not couch it that way, but actually that's what their challenge is. Their time broke, right? Because between practice and family and trying to get everything done between, they don't know where to run, right? And so, that can be a huge challenge.
I saw this with me, and I see it with a lot of our colleagues too, is they think they own their career, they think they own their practice, when in reality, their practice owns them. Their practice tells them when to come in and how many days they can work and all of this. And I thought I owned my career, and that really wasn't the case. I mean, my career owned me for sure.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we hear this all the time from lightsiders and people that listen to our podcast are up around feeling beholden to working, you know, 5 days a week, or, you know, missing their daughter's recital, like we talked about in another episode, where it's like, really, do we actually really have to be there 24/7? Like, who made that rule? And I was thinking as you were talking too, this concept I talk a lot about, hedonic adaptation.
Yes.
Which they've studied with lottery winners in particular, where you win, you know, $1 million, $500 million, and you're still not happy. Why? Because, you know, are you happy in the initial post-win period? Yes, you are. But then you go back to your baseline, whatever your baseline is for you. And so in the profession of dentistry or any kind of clinical pursuit or professional pursuit, we all fall into the trap, or let me say many of us fall into the trap. When I open the practice, I'll be happy. When I achieve this amount of money, I'll be happy. When, you know, I get this number of lectures, I'll be happy. And then you get there, and then the question becomes, now what? And that's next? What hedonic adaptation is. You adapt to the things that you've then gained, and then you look for the next thing. And so, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, being present is a huge antidote to hedonic adaptation and wanting to go more and more and more, or get more and more and more. Because things change over time. I mean, I know as a younger person, things that were really important to me aren't as important to me anymore, right?
Yeah. And it's hard. It's one of these things. It's like it's hard to know until you've been there. You know,
Oh, yeah.
like we can talk to a bunch of 20-something-year-old dental students and tell them, listen, this is the stuff that's not important. They go, oh, yeah, right. You don't know what you're talking about, you know? And then they may have burnout. They may get married. They may have children. They may start a practice. They may move. They may lose friends. And they start to realize, like, wow, now I really see what's important.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And you know, I remember I told you the story before we hit record. When I was a kid, my dad was an executive at an aerospace company, and he would get a company car like every year, I think, every 2 years, something like that. And he would always buy the nicest Buick that they had because he was very much a believer in buying American cars. And I went to this high school in Connecticut where like everybody's parents, it seemed, drove a BMW or a Mercedes. And I looked at him and I was like, you know, Dad, why can't we have one of those cars? And he looked at me and he said, why is that important to you? And I didn't have an answer. And so, yeah, why is it important to you is a question I think we all need to ask ourselves at times when we're feeling stressed about being less than in whatever that may be, because we're not as successful as the people on social media or the people on television or the people, you know, take your pick, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting one when you bring in social media or friends that you see around town or colleagues and starting to realize what is success. You know, you see a lot of dentists. I know a lot of dentists that are much more wealthy than me. They have much more money than me. They have much more prestige than me. They, you know, whatever, their clinic is bigger. They have a bigger team. However, I know many of their lives and I wouldn't want their lives.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
they're may be depressed, or they may be divorced, or they may just absolutely live in their practice day in and day out, and they don't have hobbies. Their health is in a poor place. You know, that's another thing. As you get older, I think this happens once you get into your 40s, is that health becomes a bigger opportunity. Because
Oh,
I think
100%.
what most of us do is in our 20s, let's say, I'm going to very much generalize here, but let's say before you settle down to be with your spouse or a long-term partner, you want to look good, right? You're in the dating stage, so you know you're exercising a lot, you're out in the sun, you look good. And then maybe you meet somebody, you kind of get more comfortable in your 20s or even early 30s. And then in your 30s, I think people are really batting down the hatches on their career. You know, they may, for all of our listeners, they're getting out of dental school, they're associates, they're staying up late, reading articles, traveling, doing CE, learning new procedures, hiring, firing, learning how this whole business thing works. And then you look back and all of a sudden you're 40 and you haven't exercised in 5 years or 10 years even. And then things aren't recovering as quickly. You start to have back pain or neck pain, or you're gaining weight or losing weight. And you realize, holy moly, health becomes a big part of my success. And this happened with me when I was at my lowest point. I hadn't exercised in multiple years and I was eating whatever I could, whenever I had the time, because I was just grinding and grinding and grinding. But it caught up with me. You can't grind forever and you can't put your health off forever. There's a quote, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's something like, don't wait. I'm not saying it right, but don't wait until your health has to be a priority. It's really going back to the Eisenhower matrix, right? So health is one of these things that is important, but not what's the other word?
It's not urgent, or
Not
it's not going to
urgent.
have urgent ramifications today if you don't go to the
Right.
gym.
Do yeah, right. If I start exercising next week, is it that big of a deal? No, it's really not. But when that turns into next week, next month, next year, next 5 years, you
Yes,
blink your
100%.
eyes and all of a sudden that happens, then you actually start to see how that impacts your success. And when you are taking care of yourself, how that impacts kind of the typical success of
Oh, yeah.
making more money,
Yeah.
having more prestige, just by
Absolutely.
being healthier.
Well, for those who've seen me speak before, usually I start out my lectures with what I call the sweet and low story, where after my first round of hand surgeries, I literally couldn't open up a sweet and low packet. And it was probably one of the top five scariest 5 minutes of my entire life, because I'm sitting here thinking I was going to go back to practice after, at the time, was a quote, simple carpal tunnel release procedure. And I couldn't open up a sweet and low packet, and it scared me to my core. And that preceded, not only 17 months of unemployment, but it was many years before I could use chopsticks again because I
Wow.
was misdiagnosed. But that's another story. But the point is that I hope none of you that are listening, although statistically, unfortunately, some of you will ever know that fear. And when your health goes away, whether it's due to something physical or something physiologic or cancer or a heart attack or something scary, it jars you to your core. And then all of a sudden you kind of, to be euphemistic, wake up and you think, wait a minute, this is more important to me than other things. But what if we could start a change in our thought process so we could start prioritizing those things today so we don't have to go through those just absolutely, jaw-dropping experiences.
Yeah, it brings me back to another quote that I'm probably going to butcher too, which is something like, a healthy person has millions of dreams and a sick person only has one dream, which is to get healthy, right?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's
And
like the other one,
go
like
ahead.
nobody on their deathbed ever wishes they worked another day,
Right.
that kind of thing, right?
Right. Yeah, for me, that changed. I had to think about holistic success versus linear success. And I talk about this in a lot of my webinars or live events, something called the dental success trio. And really, what it is that most of us focus on our hand skills as dentists, get better clinically, do veneers, learn ortho, learn perio, start learning how to do IV sedation, wisdom teeth, veneer preps. And we just say that is what is going to get me successful. But what we forget about is our heart, which is our relational health, and our head, which is our mental health. And so you have these people that may have only one or two of the three. Okay. So you have hand, heart, and head. If you just have your hand and your heart, things are conflicted. You feel conflicted, meaning when you're in your practice, you think, gosh, I should really be at home. And when you're at home, you think, gosh, I should really be in my practice. Then you have the dentists that I know that have their hand skills and their head, and they're missing their relational skills. Their life is complicated. They don't know how to do crucial conversations. They don't know how to listen well. They don't have those relational skills that we really need as dental professionals. And then rarely you do have the dentist that is good with their heart and their head, but not their hand skills. I would call them clumsy, but that's very rare, right? And when you get someone together that has their head, their heart, and their hand, these people are comfortable where they are, where they're present. They're clear in what is important to them, what their purpose is in life, and they're confident in where they want to be. These are the dentists that I see that really thrive, but you have to have all three.
Yes, 100%. And what I'd say to that too is it has everything to do with your mindset about your own life's journeys. So I often talk about the book of the same name, Mindset, by Carol Dweck. And so I'd encourage everybody to go look that book up. You can go to my website. I have books I love on there. It's there. But she talks about growth versus fixed mindset. And so not everything's going to go to plan, paging Captain Obvious, every day at the chair. And so, are you going to say to yourself, I'm a failure? Or are you going to say to yourself, that didn't go so well. What can I do better next time? And so, that's an example of her fixed versus growth mindset. And so, if we continually conjoin our identity with our ability to perform clinical dentistry, well, that's going to get us into a lot of trouble over and over and over
Especially
again.
in a profession like ours, where you're bound to have quote unquote failures, right? A crown's
That
going to
is,
come off, a patient's going to get sensitive, an implant's going to fail. It's going to happen.
Notice I didn't use that word. I was careful.
Yes.
I didn't.
Yes.
But I mean, it's It's a huge thing to be able to do, and it requires a level of maturity to do that as well. And that doesn't necessarily come with age, although sometimes it does. But just the recognition that things are not always going to go perfectly. And if we talk about the business of dentistry, running a practice, managing a practice, you're never going to put your key in the lock and leave the practice at the end of the day and not have something to do. So understanding that and recognizing it and have the maturity to go, you know what? I need to go. I forget about need. I want to go spend time with my family now. What can I do to restructure my life so I'm not so time broke, so that this stuff isn't weighing on my head 24/7? And that takes maturity as well. And it makes me sad because I see this all the time. People are really, really burning the candle at both ends. They're completely exhausted. They feel that they have to get X, Y, and Z done. And particularly with my coaching clients, I look them in the face and I smile and I go, do you really? Like who made up that rule? Well, it's got to be done. Okay, great. By when? Well, it needs to be done by 3 months from now. Okay, great. Why are we worrying about that this weekend during your daughter's recital or whatnot? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't mean to be flippant, but by the same token, we also need to be realistic and think about the prioritization, the calendar, literally, about where we can fit this stuff in. And no, not everything's an emergency, because guess what? If everything's an emergency, then nothing is an
nothing
emergency.
Nothing is an emergency, yeah. Right? And how do you think we get past that feeling? You talked a little bit before about the hedonic adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think we solve that? You know, I mean, I remember when I first got out of dental school and I made $10,000 in a month and I was like, I'm the richest person in the world, right? And then you make $20,000 a month and you go, oh, okay. Then,
exactly.
You know, there may be people listening to this that made $100,000 last month. And they're kind of like, eh, you know?
Yeah.
And it can be the same with prestige or fame or Instagram followers or getting articles published. How do you think we solve that to where we actually are thankful for things we have?
So the first thing I'm going to say is two things. A, it's a journey, not a destination. And B, it takes a lot of practice. And so it is a mindset shift and a talk track shift within your brain. So I use this as an example because I think whether you've ever spoken to anybody or not, I think everybody can relate to what I'm about to say. So earlier this year, everybody knows the company name Ivoclar. I was their keynote speaker for the North American sales meeting. And I told them all this from the stage, because it was about optimism driving strategic success. I said, am I happy I'm here? Yeah. But what's driving my joy is the recognition and the gratefulness for all the nights and weekends I put in studying, all of the effort that I took to gain my certifications, all of the times that I had difficult conversations with people that taught me things. So the truth of the matter is, it's about recognizing your journey and not falling prey to, you know, success amnesia, forgetting about your small wins. And so it's a talk track. So for example, when you make the $10,000 that month, you say, I'm so grateful that this occurred because I was able to communicate well with Mr. Jones, Mrs. Smith, and Mr. Johnson to help them make a great choice for their oral health care. And because of that, we ended up putting numbers on the board that have yielded this income for me and my family. So it's a change in how you talk to yourself, I guess would be an additional way to put it.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is appreciation. One of the six steps of the dream sequence that we talk about in my Lightside Academy: diet, relationships, exercise, appreciation, meditation, and sleep. And for me, that has been that, because I do suffer with this hedonic adaptation, right? You get your dream car, and then a year later, it's like, it's kind of slow, you know? You get your dream house, and then you think, oh gosh, maybe we need a second story. Or, you know, you start making more money and then you say, well, I need to have this, this, and this, and I want to take more vacations and I want to buy this and this.
Yeah.
And I do definitely suffer for that. But what has helped me get to a point where I am happy and said, if I just made this, I'm talking about money right now, but if I just made this amount for the rest of my life, I would be very happy because it allows me to do X, Y, and Z. It allows me to work this much, take this much time off, be there for my kids, be there for my wife, support having fun things. But I think for me, it's what you said, but if I had to sum it up, it's that one word. It's appreciation, being
Absolutely.
thankful, waking up and saying to myself, thank goodness I'm awake, looking over to my right and saying, thank goodness my wife is here and she is awake too. Well, usually she's sleeping because I wake up with the kids and she stays up late with the kids. So I think it's having appreciation for those small things, and that can be a small part of your success.
100%. And whether you use the word appreciation, gratitude, right? They both ring true. And what we focus on is what we'll see. And so the practice of appreciation or gratitude is something that's actually critically important. And so getting good at the end of the day, saying to yourself, what really went well today? What am I looking forward to tomorrow? I had a really crappy week last week. Like I just felt like I was getting hit from a whole bunch of different angles. Somebody said something really horrible to me. I had someone take their own life who was very close to me.
Yep, a dentist, by the way.
A dentist. It was a horrible, horrible week. And I made a choice to focus on the things that were going well that I was grateful for. That didn't mitigate the loss of my friend. That didn't mitigate or remove what somebody said to me. But what it did was I chose not to pay that heavy price to sit there and focus on it. I let it flow through me, which, by the way, is a very important tenet of the true study of happiness. This is not about walking around with a smile on your face. That's toxic. That's a whole nother podcast we can do. But this is about having the resilience to allow those things to flow through and flow past you. And so when I work with my private clients, so often they'll say, oh, I had a really difficult day. I'm sorry to hear that. Days can be really, really challenging. Tell me about your difficult day. And we'll get around to it. And the clients that I've been working with a long time, they know the next question is coming or the next couple of questions. So how many patients did you see yet today? And how many interactions did you have that went really, really well? Okay. So what can you tell me about those? And so it's a matter of focus. It's a matter of commitment. Let's call it what it is. It is a commitment to change a narrative because let's call it what it is. It's so easy to fall into the woe is me stuff, right? It's just
Very easy.
for whatever reason, it's just easier. It just is, right? So how can we make that commitment amongst ourselves?
Well, what I love about what you said was that it's just like any other skill, you have to practice it. And this, I think, is what dentists don't get, is if you said, how was your first implant you ever placed? They'd probably be like, a little too distal angle. They didn't place it deep enough. The emergence profile wasn't great. I didn't get primary stability. Okay, how about your 100th? How about your 1,000th implant? And they'd be like, yeah, so easy, right? I mean, for the GPs out there, how easy is it for you to do a class one? So simple, right? But when you first did in dental school, how freaking hard was it? And how terrible was your anatomy? And how bad were your margins? How bad was the coloring and your staining and everything? But if you talk to somebody about appreciation, have you practiced gratitude? Because just like anything else, it's a skill. And we've talked about this on the podcast before and in our live courses. A lot of these are skills. Like communication is a skill that you have to practice. You have to put effort into. Sometimes it's money, it's training, it's coaches, it's courses. And I think that's what I didn't realize either. You get better as you do things. I was listening to a podcast last night, and it was a podcast on how to be a good interviewer. Okay. And it's from this guy who has this really big podcast that interviews big self-help people and psychologists and engineers and all this stuff. And the guy who was interviewing the guy with the great podcast said, well, how do you become a great interviewer? And he said, You interview a lot of people and you practice and you put effort into it and you take little things from great interviewers that you like and you take courses on it. It was like there was no secret to it.
Yeah,
It was
100%.
put effort and time and money into this.
Absolutely. It's like anything else. If you want to be better at something, what time commitment are you willing to put into it? No one expects to go to the gym once and look like some, cover model. Nobody expects to save $100 and become a millionaire the next day. So why is this any different? But yet, for whatever reason, we make it different. What we
It
do.
reminds me of, you said a cover model. I was always a big fan of Heidi Klum. And as a kid, she was kind of like my, oh my gosh, like that's what I want my wife to look like. And she was funny and all this stuff. And I remember in an interview, she was on some late night show and they said, Heidi, you're always in such great shape. And, how do you do it? What is your secret? And she said, there's no secret. I go to the gym. I eat right. I take care of myself. Like, it's not a secret.
It's true.
And it's similar to what we talk about with this, like success and changing your mindset. Even changing your mindset takes effort, takes time, takes awareness, it may take
Oh,
money.
yeah.
And, but you do it and you practice it over and over again. And even you and I, who go around teaching this stuff around the world, we still have to practice. We still have to
Absolutely.
be reminded. You and I will text or call each other, and sometimes we have to put each other in each other's place. How true is that? Are you sure you're looking at this in the right way? Are you sure that's what they meant? And that just shows like the expert in any field has failed multiple times, but they're constantly working on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes me think too. I hadn't thought about it in these terms, but when I was much younger, I'll be 55 this year. And I'm not a tall man, for those of you who've never met me. And so today, if I went to buy a pair of pants, it'd be 31, 32 waist, something like that. When I was 18, my pant size was 42. And so for somebody of my height, that's a very significant difference. And one of the things that's allowed me to maintain my weight, which statistically, by the way, I'm a complete freak because I lost enough weight that I'm in the category of people that put it back on within 5 years, almost, 100%. And so it's the little things. It's and this might sound a little bit overbearing, but it really isn't when you just make that decision. Like Heidi Klum said, it's not complicated. So it's like, do I really need that extra piece of cheese on the sandwich? Do I need the mayo versus the mustard? Do I need the fries versus the salad? Like, these are conscious choices that we make.
Yeah,
And
it's not easy. But it's
no.
not complicated.
Correct. It's not simple. It ain't easy, but it's certainly very simple. Or it's very simple, it ain't easy, whichever way you want to go. And even last week, when I was going through some pretty wild stuff that felt like it kept hitting me in a row, which, by the way, I want to get to that thought in a second. I did have negative thoughts, and I literally said to myself, no. What's another way to look at this? I'm not going to negate my anger. I'm not going to negate my sadness, but I'm also not going to allow myself to sit and steep in it. And what I want to come back to now, which I think is critically important, particularly within dental practices, because I see this with my clients all the time. Events with patients and or team members that happen multiple times in a given day are not connected. And just because you've had two things happen does not mean the rest of the day is going to be crappy. That's not the way this works. That's the story you're telling yourself. And there's a difference. There's a huge difference between that.
I had a day the other day where my kids were driving me crazy, and we had just come back from somewhere, and the whole way home they were screaming, they were fighting. My wife was sad about it, and we were just, oh my gosh. I had put on my AirPods because I was having I was there was so my so much noise. I just needed to stop it a little bit, right? And I came into the house before everybody. They were still getting out of the car. And I literally said out loud, okay, Kyle, Your job as the parent is to control your own emotions. Your job as a parent is to control your own emotion. I like had to say like a mantra a few times. And it's just going back to what we were talking about, that it's practice, it's awareness. I'm at a point now where I have the awareness. I have the tools to do it too. I have to remind myself and I still have to practice. And that's how you have to think about success too. So tell me about the story that you were going to tell.
The
Or what you were going to get into, you said?
no, the domino effect. No, I just shared the idea that just because two things have happened in a day doesn't make the day terrible. So in other words, days are not made up of dominoes.
I
That's
see.
not the way this works. You choose to take isolated events and connect them. That's your choice. Well, today's really going crappy because this happened, then that happened, then that happened. Yeah, that's not a fun day. Yes, it is crappy, and they're not connected.
Yeah, what I like of what you said before is I learned this from one of my mentors, Erwin McManus, who is just an amazing thinker, and he said, "You're going to have emotions. You're going to be sad. You're going to be jealous. You're going to be angry." He said, and a lot of people will say, "Well, try not to have those emotions, right?" And that's not very human to not have these emotions. His whole thing about self-mastery is no, have the emotion, but don't act on the emotion. So be jealous, but don't act on that jealousy. Be angry, but don't act on that anger. Be sad, but don't act on that sadness. And that, like, gosh, it's really Viktor Frankl, living between the stimulus and the response. But how he said it was so eloquent, and I just love that.
So I'm going to give you another tool. So you're very familiar with my team framework, which is an
Yes.
acronym. Stands for thoughts lead to emotions, actions, and manifest results. What I say when we really get into it is that team forward, T to the E to the A to the M, is reactive. So what you just said, it's like, okay, something happened. I'm really jealous about it. I don't want to act. So if you end up in one of those situations, use the acronym team backwards. I jokingly call it meat, right? And so when you get stuck,
High protein.
When you get stuck and you're like, I don't want to do X, then you flip to the M and you go backwards. What does that mean? In other words, okay, this just happened. I'm really jealous. I don't want to lash out. Okay, great. So let's skip to the M. What do I want to manifest right now? What do I really want to see happen? Well, I want to deepen our relationship by spending more time with this person. Let's say it's a just a platonic friend that you want to spend more time with. Okay, great. So if that's the case, then what action do I need to do right now to manifest spending more time with that friend? Great. I need to reach out and send him a text. What emotion do you need to have to kickstart that action? Well, it would just be love for that friend and just caring to spend time with them. Great. What thought do you need to kickstart the whole thing? Maybe it's I cherish this friendship. Let's do it. Right? So it's all cognitive behavioral therapy, Viktor Frankl, all this stuff kind of rolled up into one, but that's a specific tool that people can use to help kind of navigate in those difficult times.
So we've been talking about success, what it means to have success, as a dental professional, but really as a human too. Who is the most successful person in dentistry and why? And if you need some time to think about it, I'll tell you mine.
Yeah, see that's gonna be an interesting challenge for me. Thanks for curveball. just
And
because
maybe you don't have to say their name either.
when you say in dentistry, for me, I've been so blessed to know clinicians and corporate people and educators, and it's like a really it's a really big group. But who's yours? I'm curious first.
So mine is my father. And what I've said this many times, because I get this question often, like, what is success to you? I get this when I'm being interviewed for podcasts or for articles or something. And it's definitely my dad. He's in his 70s. He's in good shape. He, can go out and swim in the ocean. He can play basketball with his grandkids. He can garden. He can walk the dog. He's in good shape. His health is good. He's not rich, he's not poor. By no means is he rich, but by no means is he poor. I would call him, comfortable. We definitely have family friends that are much more wealthy and much less wealthy than my family. He's been married to my mom for over 50 years. All of his kids love him and talk to him almost daily. I mean, same with my mom too, but I'm using him because he's a dentist. And his grandkids love him. And I mean, if I could have that in my 70s, that's success to me. He had a successful clinical career. He was a good dentist. Is my dad the best dentist in the world? No. He's good. He wasn't, he didn't write articles, he didn't lecture, he wasn't crazy well known or anything. He just had a normal PPO practice in a smaller town in the Inland Empire, and he had a pretty good life though. And when I think about all of the memories growing up, I had a pretty good childhood with my parents. So much of that was because of my dad making his family a priority.
I do have an answer now, and it kind of came to me as you were talking. It's Dr. J. Platt. So
Okay.
he's a neurosurgeon in Indiana, and clinically, he is exceptional. His team has been with him, most of them, for many years. He has a very large team. His family's incredibly important to him. He's been very financially successful. But frankly, the reason why he comes to my mind is what's created all of that. What's created all of that is his own self-awareness, his self-awareness around the need to delegate, his self-awareness around his strengths and his lesser strengths, his awareness around, I hate to use the word weaknesses, his awareness around the fact that if he's going to put down the numbers, and I'm not going to share his numbers here, but I can tell you they are extraordinary for a single clinician with clinical success rates that are matching the literature. I've seen all the numbers. And recognizing in order to do that, he has to take care of his own health. So he goes to the gym for 90 minutes every single day. He is one of the most successful people in dentistry I know. Has he had challenges in his life? Absolutely. Whether
Course.
in multiple different areas, and I'm sure many that I don't even know of. However, it's the awareness piece, and I would loop you into that too, because as you were talking, I was gonna actually use you, to be honest, because and there's a connection between you and Jay, which is the awareness. And it's the willingness to say, like in Jay's case, I'm not as good interacting with the patients from a case acceptance perspective. Let me let Mo do that. And Mo is an extraordinary treatment coordinator, extraordinary. And he allows her to run with it. So I think self-awareness, emotional intelligence, are hugely important to be successful. I don't care what you do, right?
So, what final thoughts do we have for our listeners today? Talking about success, holistic success, sustainable success. You know what? Just as I'm saying this, I want to talk about sustainable success before we finish. This is something that I don't think dentists think about enough is if you are planning on doing this for another 20 plus years, you can't just grind forever. I love cars, so I always use the example of redlining your car. If you get in your car and you redline your car, woo, as loud as you can go, as fast as you can go, all the time, you're screeching around every corner. You can do that for a little bit, right? Your car will last for a little bit. But after a few months of doing that in your car, you're going to blow a gasket, you're going to break a belt, the transmission's going to blow up, the car's going to catch on fire. I mean, something is going to happen. And I see this with dentists so often is that they think I can just grind and I can just hustle for 20 plus years. And it ask me how I know, but it's not possible. And so you have to think very long term. And I think this is hard for people that aren't delayed gratification kind of people. I am a delayed gratification kind of person, and I still did this. But you have to think if the slope of your success is a little more flat, But you can maintain it over time. In the end, you'll be more successful than the person who has a higher slope, but they crash every 5 years or every 7 years. So at the beginning, you think, gosh, they're really killing it. Oh my gosh, their practice is growing. They're making so much money. Their clinical success is great. But they're not sleeping. Their health is in a poor place. They get a divorce. They lose a business relationship. They get a lawsuit. That's not sustainable success.
No.
And we have to think about this as dental professionals because our job is so difficult. It's so physically demanding. It's so emotionally demanding. It's hard from a financial standpoint, meaning that we have to take out a lot of loans generally to start practices, to go to school, to expand, to hire. So, what is your thought on that?
So it's ironically enough, it's, like I talked to Jay Platt, like he understands sustainable success. So he goes to the gym every day for 90 minutes. He eats well, all that kind of thing. And yeah, I think the sustainable success is all about looking inward, not looking outward. In my coaching program, they talked about this concept that I didn't understand at the time. It's true and truth. There's truth in the world, and then there's true for you. And just because there's truth in the world, and I'm not necessarily talking ethics or morality, I'm talking about your life situation. Just because that there's stuff going on in the world doesn't mean it needs to impact you. And just because Kyle Stanley drives a Porsche doesn't mean I need to do so. Just because, Frank Spear likes blah, 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 that I have to do that. It's what's right for you. It's what allows you to sleep well at night. And sustainable success is about understanding what's important to you, because value conflicts drive stress. Like if your family's important to you, but you never spend time with them because you're always at your practice, you ain't gonna be happy. So really sitting down and thinking about, okay, what are my personal intrinsic values? And how is that showing up in my life? Am I honoring those or not? And so I think sustainable success is very much about being honest with yourself, realizing what's important to you as you see it today, and creating a life that will support those values, that will allow you to sleep at night and spend the time with the people that you love most.
I love that. I think that's a great way to finish. I love that you brought it back to values. So true. So true that in the long term, it's those values that matter. And when you can put your success on your values, I think that's really just a great way to kind of wrap today's episode up in a bow, is that success should be based on your values. And I would also add that your values may change over time.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Well,
Absolutely.
great. Well, everybody, if you enjoyed this, please share it with a colleague or a friend. This helps us get the message out. We're trying to give you guys a lot of free content, and all we ask in exchange is a 5-star review, or if you want to write a review or send it to a colleague, this would really, really help us. If you're interested in seeing us live, make sure to go to Wellness and Dentistry. You can find all of our links, but you will find our Lightside Live course, which is a 2-day event where you can hang with me and Martin. It's a small workshop. We don't have a ton of seats because it is an in-person, hands-on kind of workshop. So make sure you sign up for that. And you will also be able to find all of our links for Martin's in-person coaching, or if you want to bring him or I out to speak at your event. And if you haven't picked up my complication compliance method, make sure you pick that up. Go to complicationcompliancemethod.com. It's the price of a few tacos, or at least a few tacos in California. And thank you, everybody, for joining us for Wellness and Dentistry, and we will see you next week.
See you later.